like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air.
And
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
There's apple pickles, oh so tasty, apple tarts and apple pasty, apple dumplings, not to mention apple sass. Apple fritters light as thistle and for folks to wet their whistle, tangy apple cider in a glass. Stew 'em, fry 'em, boil 'em, bake 'em, apple pie and apple cake 'em. You can cook an apple anyway. There's apple this and apple that, the recipes that fill your hat. Why, I could carry on like this all day. So pack your stuff and get a going. Get them apple trees a-growing. There's a lot of work out there to do. Oh, there's a lot of work to do.
Broadcasting live from, well, was that enough of a hint to tell you where we might be today?
At the Peach Fair.
At the Peach Fair. Good, Gwen.
Is it the Fig Fair?
She's a little bit slow, but I won't call attention to that. Yes, live from the Gravenstein Apple Fair, our 22nd year at the fair. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. It's Garden Talk Live, and what a picture-perfect morning it is at Regal Ranch Park. We hope that you'll participate in this year's Gravenstein Apple Fair. It is the 45th annual Gravenstein Apple Fair. It opens at 10 o'clock today sharp, and we hope you'll be here to start sampling the delicious fares and participating in all the great agricultural themed activities for both adults and kids. Great music. We'll tell you a lot about what to expect at this weekend's fair. Garden Talk 9 to 11, and then the Good Food Hour, and that's always a hoot with Chef John Ash. We'll sample great apple delicacies and, of course, some award-winning apple pie and much more on today's show. Before we get going, a good way to start your morning would be at the original Certified Farmers Market, that taking place as we speak at the Luther Burbank Center in Santa Rosa. Dennis Dunn on the line to give us a virtual tour of what looks delicious at the market. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Stephen Glenn. How are you guys?
We are doing great. Thank you. A beautiful morning. Why don't you start us off in fruits and vegetables on our tour today?
Well, if I can, I'd like to first sing some praises of a couple of our vendors. At this time of the year, I don't know if you're all aware of it, we do a little market Thursdays at the WIC office, the Women and Infant Children, that promote healthy eating. And three of our vendors are there faithfully every year, every Thursday. Ponce Farms, they're the folks that come up from the valley with a lot of our stone fruit. Lazaro at the Patch and Hector from Hector's Hunting. These guys, they don't make a lot of money there. They're there for the good of the people and people that need access to great food. So I really want to sing their praises. It's not that other farmers don't do things like that, but these guys are going over and above. Like I said, they don't make a lot of money there. They're there because it's a good thing to do.
We take our hats off to them. It's wonderful work. Thank you for acknowledging that, Dennis.
Yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit about garlic today.
Okay.
Something that we haven't talked about at the market. We have all kinds of varieties here. You know, talk to the farmers. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different varieties of garlic at Bernier Farms. It's great to have around. You can make things like mojo de ajo, which is a Mexican condiment. It involves, browning, if you will, to golden brown slices of garlic with a little bit of red pepper flake in olive oil. And, of course, you can get your olive oil from Erie Olive Oil right here. Susan is here with it. You can talk to them about if you like it strong, do you like it mild, What do they use it for? So there's a ton of garlic at this market. Rebecca at Lantern Farms also has great garlic. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with it. You know, you can make, you know, batches of Italian salsa verde and can it. You know, if you're going to make bagna calda, you know, if you want it strong or not so not as strong garlic flavor, ask them and they'll tell you. So tons of garlic, always here.
Marvelous. And what should we pair that garlic with?
Well, like I said, you know, get some olive oil from Susan at Erie. It comes highly recommended. I can tell you my brother's on the Olive Oil Council, and he has tasted the olive oil many times, and he loves it. Liza from Spinster Sisters, she used it for the first time at our last dinner, and she loves it. So come, you know, pair it with the olive oil. Obviously, caprese salad right now with all the tomatoes and the basil, beautiful basil. Mm-hmm. Again, Rebecca at Lantern Farms has beautiful basil. Bernier has beautiful basil. So, you know, excuse me, make Italian salsa verde, caprese sandwiches, caprese salads. Of course, garlic with me, you know, ice cream. What can I say?
Wow.
But yeah, there's all that stuff. It's really cool right now. The peppers are all starting to turn. So you can get red peppers here today. You can get yellow peppers. You can get green peppers for stuffing. Excuse me. And of course, tomatoes have exploded. You can get tomatoes of every shape, size, color that you could possibly think of right now at the market. As I mentioned last week, the eggplant is absolutely beautiful right now. Singing Frog's eggplant is just, they're like perfect. Make eggplant parmesan or a stir fry, baba ganoush. So it's the great time to be here right now. It's kind of exploding.
Anything else in fruits and vegetables before you move to Protein Row?
We can't forget about Shoot Farm up with their great avocados. They've got two different varieties of avocados. They have a Reed and the Haas variety, so make some guacamole. Then into fruit. Oh, and I should say Cliff from Montpaws is back. He's got all kinds of squash and cabbage. He's got potatoes. He's got some of his broccoli. So come by and say hi to Cliff. It's always fun to say hi to Cliff. He's a good guy.
Fruits. Why don't you mention a few fruits?
Stone Fruits in front of Ponce Now. Beautiful pluots, freestone peaches, nectarines, all kinds of stuff. And since you're at the Gravenstein Fair, Williams is here with their great... they've got tons of Gravensteins, so come on down and make a pie. Table grapes are out now, so the red and green table grapes to put on a nice cheese plate would be wonderful. Mm. So great fruits, lots of fruits.
Fantastic. On to Protein Row, please.
I am on to Protein Row, and I do want to talk about, you know, folks, if you haven't tried it, come and get some of the local beef. Salmon Creek is here. Heather is here. I've done taste tests. I've bought fillets from one of the best local chain markets of their top grass-fed beef, and a fillet of the same size from either Heather or Salmon Creek. And I can tell, I'm honestly, the chain bought is a little bit more tender, but flavor-wise, there is absolutely no comparison. It's the grass-fed local beef is much richer. It's great. So come and buy some beef from these guys. Joe Meadows Cheese is here, Steve. So I'm going to have to obviously get a round of St. George to take home to last me a month and a half. Strauss is here as well, and I believe Wendy's waving at me. They have their chocolate milk and ice creams and yogurts and the like.
On to Carb Court, please. But before you do, what about seafood?
Oh, Anna is here. Anna Seafood. I was back there a little bit earlier. She's got beautiful octopus today, some great shrimp, and then, of course, salmon and all the other species. Excuse me, bass and the like. So Anna's is always a great stopover for seafood. Oh, and Steven Smoked Salmon is here as well. They've got great smoked salmon. So on to Carb Court. Dominique has Gravenstein apple galettes, I think, today. Mm. I know she's got baby pies. Mm-hmm. She's got Gravenstein apple pies. She has Gravenstein apple croissants. They weren't galettes. I was corrected quickly because that's the way Dominique is. So come early.
Reprimanded.
I forgot to mention about veggies, too. There is a ton of sweet corn here, but you got to come early because it will go fast. I forgot that. Carl is back from his sojourn or wherever the heck he is. So Cousteau's is here with their great breads. Excuse me. Cheese twists, macarons, chocolate and plain, biscotti, and, it looks like he's got bear claws and some kind of tart. So Carl is back from Cousteau's, which is always fun. Raymond's is here. I've seen people walking around with their mini focaccias of artichoke pesto and jalapeno cheese. Full Circle with all of their I can't even talk today. All of their muffins and baked donuts. Plus their great array of sliced bread. So tons of carbs. Yes?
Hey, Dennis, when did you say that Shannon from Crumb Hither is coming back?
I saw Shannon. I've actually seen Shannon twice in the last 2 weeks. She's doing great. Her arm's getting better. Hopefully she'll be here the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay,
but you can still order by phone.
Right.
On to restaurant-style foods.
Green Grocer is here. I highly recommend his veggie breakfast sandwich. And, of course, if you don't want a veggie breakfast sandwich, just have him add some bacon or sausage. Green Grocer is here. Ellie's, highly recommend the breakfast burritos. Kyle from Falafel Fix is here. And, you know, I get a falafel salad to take home every single Saturday. The smoothie guy is here. And let's see what he's got today. He's got a Nanner Berry smoothie with strawberry, banana, and coconut. Ooh, that sounds good. Ooh, and a PBJ, strawberry, peanut butter, and banana. That sounds good, too. So if it gets warm, you can come and get a smoothie. And Mi Fiesta with their tamales and enchiladas and chile rellenos is here as well.
Terrific. Who's going to be playing music today?
You might be able to hear him in the background. That is Hank Levine, the Market Troubadour, is here for your listening pleasure. And he brought an electric guitar today.
Uh-oh.
Hank's going to rock out. He's got a blue Fender back there.
What's on the Build-A-Fair at the Dunn Brothers World Sausage Emporium?
We kind of run the gamut today. We have 2 Italian and 2 Mexican. We have Siciliana and Calabrese, Italian, and we have a Yucatan Longaniza and a Michoacan Chorizo.
Marvelous. It sounds great. It's all happening this morning at the Luther Burbank Center in Santa Rosa, 60 seconds off of Highway 101. That's the River Road Mark West Springs exit. The fair runs from 8:30 to 1 o'clock, the market. And you'll see Dennis Dunn walking around. He's the ebullient, joyful person with food in both hands. That's how you can recognize Dennis Dunn. If you missed today's market, the Wednesday market, also 8:30 to 1, it's our longest running year-round farmers market in all of Sonoma County, celebrating 50 years here in Sonoma County, and it's our best market around. Don't miss it. You'll make new friends, you'll run into some neighbors, and you'll eat locally grown and produced foods. Don't miss it. We'll talk again next Saturday. Thanks so much, Dennis.
Thanks, Stephen, Gwen. I'm glad you guys survived the Tilt-A-World, and now today, stay off the hard cider.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, you guys.
Dennis Dunn. Thanks so much. We'll talk next week. Yeah, last week we were at the Sonoma County Fair. After a corn dog and curly fries and barbecue and coleslaw and a milkshake, I wasn't ready for the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
You actually ate all that?
No.
Oh.
But I ate all the barbecue, and I had, we had so much food last week at the Sonoma County Fair. But I'm ready to eat here at the Gravenstein. They've got fantastic vendors here at the Gravenstein Fair. Doors open in about 45 minutes. We hope you'll come out to the fair. It's supposed to be mid-80s or so today. Gorgeous weather for the 45th annual Gravenstein Apple Fair. taking place, as always, at Wriggle Ranch Park, and we're glad to be the broadcast voice of the Gravenstein for the last 22 years. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher. You can reach Gwen now with any gardening questions, as usual. Just because we're not in the Chaos Auto Greenhouse back at the studio doesn't mean you can't reach Gwen. She co-writes the popular Plant Doctor column in our Press Democrat newspaper twice a month and has for over 25 years answering gardening questions out there in the newspaper land. But on the radio, you have her for two full hours with any gardening questions. You can reach us two ways, by phone, 636-1350, or you can drop us an email, steve@ksro.com. If you want to attach a photo or two, we'd be glad to take a look at that and help analyze your problem or questions. We'll take a few questions from last week, which we didn't get to, but your calls come first. Back at the Gravenstein after this, it's KSRO.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
You've always wanted the perfect space outside for your family. But who do you call? Since 1984, Sonoma County Sunrooms has been providing outdoor improvements for families to enjoy their backyards all year long. You may be thinking,
how much will it cost? How long will it take? How can I afford something like that?
Well, now may be the right time to increase value while adding usable space. With a monthly payment option, your outdoor room is closer than you think.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms, your authorized Four Seasons Sunrooms dealer right here in Santa Rosa. Our sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings create the perfect place for your backyard recreation. If you're in the market for home improvements, considering expansion on your new build or existing home, call Soco Sun today and schedule a design consultation to find out the best options for you.
Sonoma County Sunrooms, your full-service design center located on Santa Rosa Avenue. Online at SocoSun.com. Sonoma County Sunrooms. Design, installations, remodeling.
This is Noreen Evans. You deserve to be made whole for your losses from last October's wildfires. While you have 2 years from the date of the fire to file your claim against PG&E, filing as soon as possible gives us time to complete your case and have it ready for trial or settlement from PG&E. We will prepare a comprehensive list of the contents and property you lost, including trees. This will help make sure PG&E reimburses you what you deserve as soon as possible. We have an entire team of home content specialists who work with our clients every day to build a complete profile of what was lost. This information will be critical in making you whole and ensuring PG&E gives you what you deserve. Thousands have hired us already, and we're working to make their case files settlement ready. You can join them today and take action to hold PG&E accountable. Learn more or sign up online today at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445.
Noreen Evans of Watts Guerra LLP is the attorney responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Hey, small business owners. Whether you're known for designing dresses for divas or delivering amazingly accurate accounting, there's something that makes your business great. And Vistaprint is here to help you tell the world. That's why we're offering 500 custom business cards starting at $9.99. There are hundreds of styles to choose from, easy logo upload, and our team is standing by to help you out. So be bold, be brilliant, and be the person who gets 500 business cards for just $9.99 at Vistaprint.com. Just enter promo code 7575 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 7575.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Broadcasting live from the Gravenstein Apple Fair, the 45th annual, I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. You can reach us now, as always, 636-1350. If you have a gardening question or two or three, we have time. We'd love to talk with you this morning. No one on hold at this moment. Or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. We'll take a couple question follow-ups from last week. Look at this wonderful photo, Gwen. This is the first Apple Fair from 1910. When it was called the Gravenstein Apple Show.
Apple Show.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, look at that old, like, Model T Ford and dirt roads and the ladies with the long dresses and hats and the men that look like they're wearing suits, but I'm sure it's just a casual suit that they wore back then.
Yes. And someone last year, a wise guy, said, Steve, you remember that, don't you?
Oh, jeez.
This one ran for many, many years, and then during the war, of course, everything kind of shut down. And then the Gravenstein actually re-upped at 1973. That was the first official Gravenstein apple fair. So
this apple show that they called it in 1910 is here in Sebastopol?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty remarkable. Okay. So 1973, that means 45 years here at Regal Ranch Park, which is very exciting. So we got some emails from last week, Gwen. This one says, the gophers got to my butternut squash plant. The plant is dead, but they left two squash, so I'm wondering if they will ripen. That's the first question. Also, can you tell me anything about a weed that has leaves like a violet? It's in the lawn and in a garden area near our redwoods. Thanks, and that's Pat from Sebastopol. So here is this butternut squash plant, but they left two squash. I'm wondering if they will ripen.
Yeah, that's too bad. With winter squashes, they need to stay on the vine until they are 100% or close to 100% of being mature, because the fully mature they are, the better the taste is going to be. So if you're looking for some sweetness out of the squash or pumpkin that you planted, then you have to wait for it to be mature. Otherwise, it's like picking an apple when it's not ready. Yeah. It can be a little bit sour and it's not very tasty, but you wait until it's fully ripened and it's exactly what you want it to be. So unfortunately, that butternut squash, being that it has so much green in it, no, that what it is what it is there. That's okay. Too bad.
Okay, and then this mystery little plant that has leaves like a violet. Do you have any ideas? You said it's in the lawn and in a garden area near the redwoods. Hard to tell, but...
And that's a photo of it?
Yeah.
It is hard to tell from that photo.
Okay.
It, you know, it's a broadleaf weed of some sort, yes, but the picture's poor quality. I can't see what that is.
Okay.
But, you know, if it sounds like it's a weed that grows in the shadier areas, especially if it's growing underneath the redwoods and it likes water. So, you know, if it's not hurting anything, maybe it'll wait for it to flower, see what the flower looks like, and it might be a nice little addition in that area in the lawn and under the redwoods.
Okay, so there's your answer, Pat, from right here in Sebastopol. Dear Steve and Gwen, hi. I have a volunteer squash. I've attached a picture. I don't know what it is or when to harvest it. Perhaps it's spaghetti squash. Thanks you in advance. That's Sandy from Pengrove. So here's some photos of that volunteer squash.
Okay, that does look like a young spaghetti squash, but because she said a volunteer that came up, if she was growing other squashes in with or near, you know, this spaghetti squash, if she grew spaghetti squash last year, it could be that it's going to be a combination of a couple things. So it might not totally be spaghetti squash, unless that's all she grew last year.
Right.
But like I said, if she grew a few other different squashes, certain species will pollinate with each other thanks to the bees. So they go to each female flower and the male flowers, and that's how you get your squash fruits, is because the bees pollinate, and there you go. So it could be that, like I said, if she planted only spaghetti squash, that's what it'll be. If not, then I'm sure it's going to be tasty. Just pick it when it's fully ripe and the vine's starting to die back, or she can easily, you know, lift it up and it comes off from the stem.
I want to right now offer some applause for applesauce. That almost sounds like an anagram.
Oh, for applesauce.
Some of the great applesauce you brought a couple of weeks ago, your homemade applesauce, which is terrific. You also brought some great applesauce from grower orchardist Gary Blossy that was sensational.
Yes.
And do you have a little recipe for us you can give us?
Yes. He and I... Well, Gary's recipe more than mine, since you liked his better than mine.
Well, no, I didn't really say that.
I could tell. I could read between the lines.
Okay.
It's okay. Well, Gary uses almost 100% ripened Gravenstein apples from his tree.
Okay.
So they are like perfect apples to be going into this applesauce, where my apples are just the fallen apples on the ground and they're bruised and whatnot, and some of them are a little overripe. And okay, I'm not as picky as he is. He uses fresh grated nutmeg.
So
first start with a big pot of chopped up apples. You take the skin, you core them and all that, big pot of apples, add some water so you have some steam to get the apples to cook, and he adds some sugar, but depending on your taste, You can add maybe a half a cup or three quarters, whatever. You have to keep tasting it along the way, and then when it's you like the taste, whether it's a little bit tart or a little sweet, that's how much sugar you're going to add. A dash of cinnamon, and his secret, which he is willing to let everybody know.
Let me do a drum roll. Okay.
Is about a tablespoon of honey.
Wow.
Yeah, from Hector. Hector's honey.
A tablespoon of honey.
Tablespoon
but also
of honey.
You said grated fresh nutmeg.
Yes, he uses grated fresh nutmeg, okay. Which I just use, you know, powdered nutmeg.
Pre-ground is
and
what
then
I
he has, you know, a little dash of cinnamon. Right. So with my applesauce, I basically start with the big pot of apples. I add a little water. I use a little bit of brown sugar. Okay. He uses white sugar. I add a little bit more nutmeg and a little bit more cinnamon than he does. And that's it. And my secret is that I gather up a bunch of mulberries.
Right.
And I throw them in there when the sauce is almost done. Oh. And it adds that Cabernet, you know.
It was a beautiful, rich Cabernet-colored applesauce. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't detect where that color was coming from. I thought it might have been plums that maybe that you had added to the applesauce. But it was from your mulberries.
And also we get a potato masher, and you can mush down the cooking apples. We both like to have a little bit of apple chunks in there. Mm-hmm. So depending on if you want big chunks, little chunks, however you want your applesauce to end up, just keep mashing it until it's completely mush, or leave it a little bit with chunks in it.
Thank you for sharing both of those great applesauce recipes with us. One of the high points of my summer every year is I get together with a buddy of mine in Santa Rosa who has two abandoned, well, they're not abandoned, they're on his property, two Gravensteins. After all the tree has dropped, all the fruit, we gather it up, and we spend a few hours in the afternoon drinking and also making applesauce.
Oh, wow.
Which is just a little bourbon while you're minding the applesauce. It's just one of the high points of our summer. So that should be coming soon because, boy, the grabs are being harvested.
Yeah, and I want to say that if you want, Gary Blossy sells his apples and everything else, and he does his knife sharpening, of course, at the Occidental Farmers Market and the Windsor Markets. And I was there with my husband last week at the Occidental Market. I really couldn't believe all these people standing there in line waiting to get his Gravenstein apples.
Yeah,
so, and I tasted his apples compared to mine, which not fallen on the ground, but I picked a ripe one off the tree. There's something about his soil that that apple's got some unique taste to it.
So one question for you, Gwen. What is the official tree of Sebastopol? Take a guess.
New York Macintosh.
That's right. The Gravenstein apple tree. That's right. And that's where we are at Apple Center at the Regal Ranch Park for the 45th annual Gravenstein Apple Fair. Our 22nd year here as the broadcast voice of the fair, Steve Garner and Gwen Kilcher. After this break, we'll go to your calls, 636-1350. You can reach us now with any gardening-related question. Doesn't have to be on apples at all if you'd like to chat with us this morning. And here early is Chef John Ash. He's going to fill up on fritters before we taste pie at 11 o'clock this morning. 636-1350, or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com, and we'll be joining the compost king of Sonoma County during the next half hour. He's here. You'll get a chance to meet him. This is KSRO.
FM News Talk Radio. North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderful fresh local fruit and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Walker Apples is back, and master gardeners are available to answer gardening questions. Stop by the Beet Generation Farm. You'll find cucumbers, Romano beans, and Libby's Own handmade pasta. Anna's Seafood offers a wide variety of fresh fish, and Strauss Family Dairy has a full line of dairy products, including yogurt and ice cream. The market now has, in addition to Two Rock Goat Cheese, Joe Matos and Pazzo Marco Dairy showcasing their fabulous cow cheeses. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to hummus. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
I was up all night with Justin again. Kids with autism keep the craziest hours. I don't think I've had a full night's sleep since he was born.
Caring for a child with challenges like autism or Down syndrome can drain your resources.
Tom's already working two jobs trying to keep up with all the medical bills. It never ends. I wish I could help, but taking care of Justin is a full-time job.
You could be eligible for federal and state benefits that will pay you up to $4,000 a month.
What do I have to do to get that kind of help?
Contact Galt Advocacy.
Is Galt Advocacy a law firm?
No, an advocacy group. They connect people with disabilities to benefit programs, advocate for those denied services, and even help you get paid as a caregiver for your own child.
How do I find them?
Their website is galtadvocacy.com. There's no upfront cost, and the consultation is free.
Let me write that down.
GALTadvocacy.com.
Thanks.
Galt Advocacy. When you take a stand, you won't stand alone. GaultAdvocacy.com.
Hi, I'm Jeff Davis of KSRO's On the Wine Road. I've been in radio and audio production my entire adult life. I could tell years of wearing headphones has caused some hearing loss, so I thought a hearing test might be a good idea. I went to Park Place Hearing Center in Petaluma, and though it turns out my hearing has only been slightly affected, the owner, Dennis, offered me two state-of-the-art hearing devices to try. These things are incredible. You can control the volume, the environment, and low-end and high-end settings from your smartphone. And the best part is, and I know you're concerned about this, no one noticed I was wearing them.
My name is Dennis Tobin, the owner of Park Place Hearing Center. I've been in the industry for over 30 years. If you suspect you have hearing loss, come on in for a free hearing test and a free demonstration of the latest products.
Stop in and see Dennis at Park Place Hearing Center and take advantage of their free hearing test. I guarantee you'll be as surprised with the technology as I am. They're in Petaluma and San Rafael and parkplacehearing.com.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Temperatures cooling down a bit for the weekend. Today, sunny at 87, 68 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 51 across the county. Blue skies for tomorrow at 81, 64 in Bodega Bay. Monday, partly cloudy skies at 76, 62 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Get old Applejack at me. Then he take his banjo down. Then he ask me if I sing. And he would play the banjo when I play my tambourine. Play a song for me, Applejack, Applejack. Play a song for me, and I sing. Play a song for me, Applejack, Applejack. Play a song like
broadcasting live from the Gravenstein Apple Fair, I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher, and you're going to really enjoy this next guest who's going to be appearing at the Gravenstein today at 1 o'clock. Gives us a lot of pleasure to welcome Will Bax to the show. Welcome back to the show, Will Bax.
It's a joy to be here again.
Because the first time was in 2002 when we had you on the show with Dave Fazio and me, and we were talking compost and the whole chlorpyrifos issues, and you sat in with us and talked about that. And then we had you on in 2011 with Gwen and me. Your company was Sonoma Compost at that point. You have relaunched as Renewable Sonoma.
Correct.
Brand new company. So first of all, it's great to see you.
Great to be
and
here.
And number two, describe what you're going to be talking about at your 1 o'clock seminar today at the Gravenstein Apple Fair.
Okay, so this seminar is for people that want to make their own compost. And, you know, so right now there is all the organics are being shipped out of the county. It's hard to get good compost at this point, so why not make it yourself? And so I'll be providing people with a guideline on how to make compost. They will have a handout that they can take home that will tell them exactly how to do this here. We go over that guideline step by step so people know what to do to make a nice hot compost. We have a hot compost pile on site that's 150 degrees right now.
Oh, wow.
It's cooking right now?
It is cooking right now.
And also, that handout, will it also address troubleshooting about what happens if you smell this or it looks like this?
Yeah, the handout does not describe that because I want to keep that part to one page. But when we go over the temperature chart, You know, it's like compost health is just like human health. You use the thermometer to see if the pile are sick or not. And so we're going to talk about that.
Fantastic. How long is your presentation today?
It's 1 hour from 1 to 2 o'clock.
Okay. Is it today and tomorrow or just today?
Just today.
Okay. Well, golden opportunity if you're coming to the Gravenstein to access soil scientist Will Back's extensive compost encyclopedic knowledge. You're also going to be teaching a class at the JC, I understand.
I am indeed. That is called agricultural composting, but don't be confused by that. At least half of the class are backyard composters. It's a six days, Wednesdays from 4 to 7 p.m. And we're building a compost pile. We're going to monitor that compost pile throughout the 6 weeks. We talk about worm composting. If people don't want to do a hot compost pile, how to do worm composting. We're going to visit West Marin Compost, where I work as a consultant right now, so they get to see a commercial compost facility where we can actually take them through the whole process. You know, it's like what happens from beginning to end that actually verifies again everything we talk about in the class.
And is this going to be at the JC campus or out at Schoen Farm?
It's out at Schoen Farm.
It is going to be Schoen Farm. Can people still sign up for that class?
Absolutely.
And it starts August 22nd?
August 22nd, 4 to 7 p.m.
6 Wednesdays out at Schoen Farm.
Yeah.
Well, just to go out to Schoen Farm is a joy.
It's beautiful
out
there.
Out in Forestville, Russian River area.
Yes.
Beautiful. So you've got this today. You've got the class at the JC. What else are you involved in?
Well, we're trying to come back again to bring composting back to Sonoma County, and we were just ranked the number one proposer for this process. We'll be proposing to build a advanced compost facility that has zero discharge on water, 85% reduction in air emissions. We have a green energy facility with it that will produce at least 1 megawatt of energy by doing anaerobic digestion of the organics before we compost it. And then we compost it to the high standard that people in Sonoma County are used to.
You mentioned something before we went on that to me sounds like the holy grail of composting, something that doesn't need to be turned?
Correct. At the Santa Rosa Junior College, we got a grant to set up a state-of-the-art on-farm composting system. And what that is, you force the air through the compost, you put a bio layer on the outside of the compost. That way, the heat in the compost heats up all the way to that outer bio layer, which is finished compost, basically, that you put on the outside. So everything gets pathogen reduction. That means, you know, it reaches temperature that kills diseases and your weed seeds. So there's no reason to turn anymore. And it has always ample air out there because you force the air through the pile. And by looking at temperature, you can actually tell if it needs more or less air. So you're always under optimum conditions.
Is this a system that you developed?
No, we're working with O2 Compost, Peter Moon, on this here. Uh-huh. He's out of Seattle. Uh-huh. And he and I have worked together on this here to come up with a system that will work in this here. We also have it solar operated. Uh-huh. So that if a farmer wants to put somewhere where he doesn't have energy, you put a solar panel in it, and there she goes.
And Renewable Sonoma, do you have a location already in mind, or is...
Yeah, our proposal is right next to the Laguna Treatment Plant on Yana Road, which has a lot of mutual benefits for both the treatment plant and Renewable Sonoma. So both facilities will benefit from this year.
And when do you think that might happen?
Well, good things take time. I wish there was just for the good things, but permitting takes time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like basically to get the environmental impact report done, and then... air quality, water quality, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's like, it takes time. You know, it's like, so we think about 2 to 3 years.
Oh, okay. So we're...
But yeah. Look at it this way. It's 2.5 years ago that Sonoma Compost shut the doors.
Yeah.
That seems like yesterday to me. You know, it's like, so the new facility will be here before we know.
Yeah, and you still kept your foot in the compost pile.
I have.
Years. And this new non-turnable composting system, that'll be on display when the facility opens? Do you think?
Well, we're going to use something similar, a little bit fancier. Instead of just blowing the air through that we're going to do at the Schoen Farm, we actually will be blowing it through and sucking it through. And the microbes are most active where most oxygen is. And so if you just blow it through, then they're just right above the pipe where it's hottest. If you just suck it through, then it's on the outside where it's hottest. We're going to reverse that so you get an even temperature profile throughout the whole compost pile.
We're going to take a break, come back. We have Will for the other few minutes, if you want to talk compost, starting a compost pile, what's the best way to go about, maybe some suggestions on all the hundreds of different possibilities you can purchase online, what's the easiest for the home composter, if you're having some problems with your compost pile, what you should and shouldn't be adding to it, talk to the master. He's a soil scientist, Will Bax, owner, partner of Renewable Sonoma. And he's joining us today at the Gravenstein. And if you're coming to the Gravenstein, time it so that you can enjoy his one-hour presentation today at 1 o'clock. And you'll have a lot of great handouts to get you started composting. Live at the 45th Annual Gravenstein Apple Fair, Gwen Kilcher, Steve Garner hosting Garden Talk. You can reach us now simply by calling 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. This is KSRO.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO here, an avid golfer. We're blessed to have the world's best golfing weather here in Sonoma County. Crisp mornings, sunny days, delightful twilight. My favorite golf club is Oakmont. Two great courses, a par 72, great for the experienced player, and a par 63, ideal for seniors, beginners, or golfers that just want to work on the short game. With stunning panoramic views of the beautiful Valley of the Moon and the rolling hills of Sonoma wine country. Folks, as I've said, this is world-class golf. And Oakmont is happy to also to be open to the public so they can offer this amazing experience to everyone. Take a lesson, learn how to golf with their LPGA golf instructors, Jessica Quayle and Rebecca Heinmark. Afterwards, enjoy lunch at the Quayle Inn Restaurant and Bar, or have their five-star venue host your special event. Let the staff know it's your first time at Oakmont and you'll get a bucket of range balls free. Golf when you want it and priority tee times. Go to oakmontgc.com or tell your smartphone to
call Oakmont Golf Club in Santa Rosa.
The perfect wine country wedding destination, Oakmont Golf Club.
Every Friday, get to Party on the Plaza music series at the Rodert Park Farmers Market. This week, it's a tribute to the 80s with Aquanet. Enjoy a certified farmer's market, food and craft booths, beer and wine, live music, and a kids area. It's all in City Center Plaza, just off the intersection of State Farm Drive and Rodert Park Expressway. Organized by Amaturo Sonoma Media in partnership with the City of Rodert Park and sponsored by Paradise Pet Resort in Rodert Park and Santa Rosa. Offering obedience training, agility training, daycare, and dog, cat, and small animal boarding, too. No one loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resort. So come party on the plaza this Friday with Aquanet.
It's Paradise, Paradise Pet Resort.
Win a Mustang, cash, and more this month at Grayton Resort and Casino. Play to enter the Mustang Madness drawing on August 31st. You could win a Ford Mustang. So many ways to win. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, turn points into slot play. Plus, win up to 30,000 in prizes in the blazing hot slot tournaments. Best of all, sign up for Grayton Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Broadcasting live from the Gravenstein Apple Fair, Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. It's Garden Talk. You can reach us at 636-1350. Any gardening-related questions we'll take on the air. Or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Renewable Sonoma, that's Will Bax, the soil scientist, new company. And we're talking compost for a few minutes. Not all composts are alike. We know this. Maturity versus quality. Just because a compost is old doesn't mean that it's a quality compost.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Hot composting versus cold composting My thinking is that if you have a hot compost, then most of the disease pathogens are killed, but some people don't get this hot enough. You can use cold compost, too, and it has nutrients in it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does have nutrients in it, and if you let it age so that the nutrients stabilize, so that, you know, it's like they don't leach out anymore and they are in a form that's beneficial to plant growth, that would be okay. However, if you have diseases in that compost, you may be spreading diseases. If you have weed seeds in there, you will be spreading those weed seeds. And that's the payoff at that point.
So you do a hot compost.
Correct.
That, and it has to get to a certain degree, and then the pathogens and weed seeds are all hopefully killed.
The minimum temperature that you need to be over is 131 degrees Fahrenheit. Oh. The pile that we have here at the fair for the workshop right now is at 150 degrees right now.
That's heating up as we speak, isn't it?
Well, it's probably at its peak right now. I built it on Thursday, and today it's 150.
Do you ever have a compost that gets too hot?
Oh.
I have not seen a compost pile catch fire. That does not mean that it cannot happen. I think if you overload it with nitrogen and you have a pile that is maybe on the tall side, you know, it's like taller than most homeowners would do, 9-10 feet tall or something like that, It may have the potential. But typically fires start in either the feedstock stockpiles or in overs or in wood chips or something like that. That's typically where fires start, but not in the active compost pile itself.
You can tell.
Although, I must say, you know, it's like many, many years ago, we had a fire in Kenwood where someone built a compost pile on a wooden fence, and behind it was a natural preserve, and the whole thing went on fire. So it can happen. And then in my compost class, I have another very funny story about a marijuana grower that wanted to have some good, nice, high nitrogen compost.
Is that the class today you're going to tell?
That's the class at the Santa Rosa Junior College.
So that'd be worth
talking. That's a teaser, right?
Okay. Well, you don't get it on the air today. You got to sign up for the SRJC 6-week compost course at its Shown Farm with Will. A lot can be determined by the aroma, isn't it? I've always found that if it smells sour or funky, there's something wrong. It should smell like fresh soil, shouldn't it?
Yeah, and particularly towards the finished product. You know, it's like then it should smell earth-like. It's actually a microorganism called Actinomycetes. When you look at the compost, sometimes you see this ash-like white material on the surface of the organic matter. That's Actinomycetes. It's a bacteria that gives soil its earth-like smell and therefore also to compost.
We hear a lot of people say, we need to cover your bare soil. You don't want it to dry out. And you can use mulch or compost. What's an easy way to determine which is which?
Okay, mulch is a high-carbon material. Mulch will deplete your plants of nitrogen because the microbes try to break down the carbon and take up all the nitrogen that's in the soil, and your plants will not have nitrogen to grow on. So mulches are always a high carbon material that is designed indeed to deplete the surface layer of nitrogen so that the weed seeds are being starved to death. So you have weed suppression that way. But if you turn that in the soil, you'll kill your plants. Compost, I used to say compost is designed actually to be tilled into the ground. But if we look at carbon farming plants right now, that's basically taking carbon out of the atmosphere and store it long term in the soil so we can reverse global warming. That requires a low or no-till form of agriculture. And so now, you know, it's like I'm encouraging people more and more not to till the compost into the soil, but leave it at the surface and then put a layer of mulch on top of it so that it's still protected. And then let the microbes work that compost back into the soils. As the roots get more nutrients and a better soil structure, they go deeper, create more organic matter in the soil. The soil gets better, deeper, the roots go even deeper, and so that's where you build over time more and more organic matter deeper and deeper in the soil. And bigger root balls means healthier plants above ground, so you really create a healthier system.
That's a great explanation. Mitch is calling from Santa Rosa. He has a question about compost for us. Mitch, welcome to Garden Talk with soil scientist Will Bax. Hi.
Morning. I missed talking to you last week. My question pertains to the particulars in terms of what one, not being as intuitive as you are, would put in the compost pile. I utilize the, you know, the vegetable scraps and cuttings from my tomatoes, yet I also have a huge pile of maple leaves and eucalyptus in my backyard, and I was suspect about putting eucalyptus leaves in my compost pile. And it's only I built it out of wood. It's about 5 feet by 8 feet, and it's in kind of a shaded area. So my question pertains to the addition of those ingredients, and then should I cover it in visqueen or something? I turn it. The soil looks good. It's full of night crawlers, and I hate disturbing the legless lizards, but I just didn't know if those ingredients can go in there without causing a problem.
Yeah, they can, actually. The food scraps are a great nitrogen source. The leaves that you have are a nice carbon source. You need to have that balance. If you're out of balance, you notice that you get too much ammonia coming off your pile if you have too much of the kitchen scraps in there. So if you smell that, tone it down a little bit, get a little bit more carbon in there. As far as the eucalyptus leaves are concerned, if you look underneath a eucalyptus grove, there's not much growing there. And that's because those leaves contain a growth inhibitor. That growth inhibitor, however, is an organic compound that is broken down in the composting process. Now, the leaves are also very much protected and are resistant to decomposition. So if you put too much in there, you really slow down the composting process. But I say if you stay to about maybe 15% or so in a compost pile, it just co-composts with the rest and you will have no problems.
And what about the maple leaves? Because I've got a 60-foot, 30-year-old tree, and I leave them out all year, and then before it sheds again, they're all brown and stuff. Am I okay to put those in the pile?
Yeah, those are a good carbon source that balances out your food scraps. The nice thing about leaves is you can store those, right? Nitrogen you cannot store. So your kitchen scraps you have to blend right away with carbon material to avoid flies from coming in there, from getting odor problems, etc. So if you store your leaves and then take those and combine them with your food scraps as you go, you're always be in good shape.
So turn it and add those to it. Okay, I got it. And then the other question I had was for Ms. Quilcher. I only know a little about okra, but mine are only 2 feet tall and only have about 100 of them on it. How are yours, Gwen?
Mine are about 18 inches tall, and they don't have any flowers or anything on them yet because I started a lot later than you did in sowing my seeds. So I'm yelling at them, telling them to hurry up.
I will bring you some.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. One of these days,
well,
and I'll bring you some.
Good day. I really enjoy your show, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for the call, Mitch. You mentioned the ammonia smell.
Yes.
And that means what? Nitrogen's escaping into the air? Was it? And I had heard that you add sawdust, which adds carbon to that to prevent that. Is that correct or not?
That's one way of doing it. However, if you did, for instance, the last caller mentioned food scraps. Food scraps are already very dense. It's like when they decompose, their wall structure breaks down. It doesn't allow air in. If you add sawdust to it, you add the carbon to it, but you don't give it porosity. And you need air for the microbes to do well, because else you go anaerobic, which gives a stink, and it produces methane, which is a bad greenhouse gas. So you need something that has more structure that allows air to come in order to get a good compost pile.
Okay, boy, it's a lot of great information. Will Bax from Renewable Sonoma will get updated, of course, during the next couple months as the city of Santa Rosa, the county of Sonoma, all the people, the players involved in the licensing and permitting process for you to build the new plant system?
Well, the first step is to for the Sonoma County Waste Management Agency, which is the 9 cities and the county, decide who they want to work with. We have been rated as the number one proposer.
Okay.
But the process, there's a public hearing this coming Wednesday at Santa Rosa City Hall at 8:30, and that body needs to make a decision with whom they want to work.
Okay.
Hopefully it's us, and then we'll move forward.
And then 2.5 to 3 years, the plant should be hopefully up and running.
I hope so, yes.
Okay. And in the meantime, come to the fair today at 1 o'clock and enjoy Will's presentation. It's a full hour on great composting with handouts. And sign up at the SRJC for his 6-week short course at Schoen Farm, which is Wednesdays, 3 hours a day.
And it's called Agricultural Composting, SUSAC 103.
Agricultural Composting 103. And so, and we'll have you back certainly before the end of the year to give us an update.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure being here.
A pleasure. We're live at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. We'll take a break, head into news at 10 o'clock, and then back with some local apple growers to celebrate the 45th annual Gravenstein Apple Fair. This is Garden Talk. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher live at KSRO.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it. FM News Talk, KSRO, K278CD, Santa Rosa, K233CM, Petaluma.
From ABC News.